Well, we appreciate the opportunity to come. And I'm gone nearly every week of the year. I think about 54 meetings this year in revival. And we've got to go by the house this weekend and get my little boy and my baby girl. And so I'm glad to have Allison and Micah Dan with me this morning. They're not new. I don't get to see a whole lot of them, but we're glad to have them with us this week. And we're glad to be here. I appreciate your pastor, and I've learned to love him and appreciate him and Miss Vicki and their children. And we're just real glad to be here, and we hope that we can be a help to you and a blessing and an encouragement. You turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll try to be just as brief as possible this morning. They say that's the most common lie told among preachers, that they're going to be brief. You're laughing now. I see how you look about 12. No, I'm honest. I'm famous for being short all over the country, and that's the blessed truth. And we won't hold you over 30 minutes, hardly any of the services. That's not counting the altar call, but usually about 30 minutes is all we ever preach. Hebrews chapter 2, I want to preach a message that I've never preached before, I don't think, but tried to work and develop it and put it together some time ago, and I feel like that's what the Lord would have this morning. And let me say this right before we read our scripture and get in the message. If you're here this morning and lost and never been saved by the grace of God, wouldn't it be a wonderful day for you to get saved and get into the family of God and get washed in the blood and saved by the grace of God? I've never got tired or to see anybody get saved. Have you? What a blessing it is to see somebody, a mother or a dad, or a son or daughter, get peace in their heart and get happiness that only comes from Him. So if you're lost, I'd love to see you get saved. If you're cold and indifferent, I hope before these meetings are over that you'll get close to God and draw nigh to Him. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible said this, "But in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visited him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Now, look back in verse 6 for the text. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I'd like to preach a little while on the subject this morning, God had man on his mind. God had man on his mind. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy and grace and long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for this good singing by the choir and then the special singing by this brother. I'm glad that all of our heartaches we can put under subjection if we'll turn it over to you. And God, I'm glad that the opportunity to come and preach again. Now, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to help others. I pray you'd stir us by the grace of God. Pray you do the work that only you can do. Save that soul that's nearest hell. And I pray you'd revive the saint and encourage the discouraged. Help the helpless as only you can. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I read this and just going through Hebrews and studying, it amazed me to look and see that God had man on his mind. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? I'm talking about the God that made this universe, spoke the stars into existence, made the Milky Way, put the sun in the sky and hung it on nothing, set the moon in a balance and made it revolve, and the earth revolved around it, and never was in any kind of hardship or difficulty about it. I'm talking about the one that breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils and formed him out of the dust of the clay, and never was even startled or never had any kind of difficulty with it. And the God that made the anointed cherubims and the God that made this whole world and universe, and then to think that that very sovereign God would have man on his mind. That amazes me, don't you? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm way out in the country out there in Alabama, and I've never had much education, and never managed another, just an outlaw for 10 years, and just snatched up out of the fire by the grace of God. And when I go back and think about God having me on his mind, that blesses my soul. I mean, to think that God Almighty would take time out of his agenda and out of his schedule and his itinerary to sit down and think about me and you. That makes me want to just crawl out of recess and hear the shouting spell. Amen. I mean, to think we was on God's mind way back yonder when God was so busy, we still had man on his mind. I'd like you to look in verse 6 again, if you will. First of all, let me give you a little outline here out of this chapter. First of all, God testified of man in verse 6, but he said, but in a certain place, testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Isn't that a blessing to think that God testified about me and you? When I say man, I mean woman too. Isn't it something to think about God testified about his creation? I mean recording it down the word of God. Somebody said, why didn't the angels just serve him? Why didn't the cherubim just serve him? Why didn't the seraphim just worship him? I mean, they was willing to worship. They was a created being. You know what God wanted? God wanted a man and a woman to love him because they loved him. They didn't want nobody to make him love them. They didn't want nobody to force him to love them. They just wanted man with a free will on the inside to say, I love the Savior. I love God Almighty because he first loved me. I mean, that's what makes Christianity special. We don't love God to get something from him. We don't love him because we are asking for something, but we love him because he first loved us and washed us and saved us and regenerated us and pulled us out of mire. I've got God right back way years ago and testified about mankind, his special creation. He testified of man. I like that. Then in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, he tabernacled among men. The Bible said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And over in John chapter 1, he said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Isn't that something that God Almighty would take on a robe of flesh? I mean, way under 2,000 years ago, Jesus one day in the glories of heaven pulled off a robe of deity, laid down that great robe that he had on, and laid it down on the balconies of heaven, stepped down in a virgin's womb in the city of Nazareth, and there was born in flesh and blood. He was 100% man and still 100% God there in that virgin's womb. Isn't that amazing that God's only begotten Son would step down from the glory world and come down and tabernacle among me and you? Isn't that a blessing? God tabernacled among men. I mean, my, that just puzzles me when I think about it. How did he leave the splendors of heaven? How did he leave the only God Almighty, his Father himself, and leave him and come down in tabernacle among me and you? What a blessing. What a blessing. As our Christmas season approaches us, it ought to mean something besides just presents and gifts and eating and fellowshipping. We ought to think about, I know it's not the day that he's born, but it's a day we set aside as a nation to remember his birth. And we ought to just rear back and thank God and say, appreciate you, Jesus, for tabernacle among us and coming down and being born, that me and my family can be saved by the grace of God. He tabernacled among men. My. I mean, just put on a robe of flesh, just like we've got on, and tabernacled among us. How that ought to bless our hearts this morning. Just to think that he'd care that much for me and you. Just to think he'd stoop that low to tabernacle among mankind. I mean, it looks to me like he'd sure be born. He'd have been born in the palace house, don't you? It looks like he'd have stopped by Herod's house and have been born with the satins and the silks a rustle around his head. It looked like royalty would have embraced him on that Judean night, that star of red sky that night. It looked like that royalty would have touched him. But God Almighty chose, instead of royalty, he chose a little virgin peasant girl, a named Mary, to birth him, and a man that worked with his hands named Joseph, and the inn didn't have no room for him, and there in a stable in Bethlehem, he was born in poverty, that me and you might become rich. Oh, my, tabernacle among men. What a blessing. What a blessing that night. It looks like that the 100-piece orchestra would have come from Jerusalem and sang at his birth, don't it? Looked like the orchestrated choir would have rolled up in the silver eagle buses and come and sang, don't it? But that's not the way it was. That's not the way it was. A God dare not trust an earthly quartet. A God sent his own heavenly host down, and they appeared to the little shepherd, and they sang the Hosanna, and said, today is born to you a child in Bethlehem, and yonder raised children. And the shepherd saddled up and said, let's go see it. And the wise men saddled up and said, let's follow the star. And they came together. They came from the east, and they came from the west, and they came and beheld it as a tabernacle among us. Tabernacle. My. To think that Jesus Christ would tabernacle among me and you blesses my soul today. He testified a man, and God tabernacled among men. I'm telling you, God had man on his mind. I want to say this, and I want to say it kindly. But we live in a bunch today in our churchy circle where we're all just, everybody nearly gets up. They say, well, we're just old dogs and just old heathen and all that. But I'll tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're more than that this morning. You're a peculiar treasure. And you're washed in the blood, and you're his child. Brother, he's our daddy. And I want to tell you something. We ain't going down. We're going up. We're on the way up this morning. And I know it's all him and we're nothing. But I want to tell you something. We're the apple of his eye. We're the church of the Lord Jesus. We're the redeemed by the grace of God. I'm not interested in the age of the rock. I'm interested in the rock of ages. And I want to say to you today that God tabernacled and came and took a fleshly body and lived 33 years on this earth, that me and you could be the redeemed church of his. Tabernacle among us. He testified of us. God had man on his mind. Can I say this? Not only did he testify of man and tabernacle among men, but God was tempted as a man. Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. The last part of that verse said, but in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I like that, don't you? God was tempted as a man. You say, Brother Danny, you don't realize what I'm going through. You're exactly right, but he does. He knows the valley you go through. He knows every temptation. And let not us say when we're tempted, that we're tempted from above, but we're tempted from beneath. When we're drawn away in our lust and enticement, and that's when we're tempted. It's not of God, but it's of the devil. God may test us, but he'll never tempt us, beloved. And he's went through every temptation. You realize, in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil led the Lord up on the great mountain there, right after that great victory, he led him up on that mountain, and he told him, took the word of God and perverted it and twisted it. And he said, lay down. He said, dash the stuff against a rock or a stone. He said, the angels have got charge over you. And then he said, take off these kingdoms and follow me. And lay down your life and follow me and worship me. All of these kingdoms I'll give to you. The devil took the word of God and twisted it and perverted it and tempted our Savior. But the Bible said Jesus wasn't all points tempted as we are, but without sin. He was a spotless Lamb of God. He endured that temptation. He endured it. And me and you could come out victorious over sin. He was tempted. You say, Brother Danny, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the temptations I face every day on the job. I worked 10 years commercial construction before I went into full-time evangelism. That's a pretty rough crew, wouldn't you say? We built nuclear plants, paper mills. I mean, we're 3,000 or 4,000 men on the job by the time. Building them big plants. I'd say that's a pretty good temptation, wouldn't you think? I mean, man, you're going to get any rough and construction crew, you're going to have to get on a ship somewhere and sail with a pilot. You know what I mean? That's about as rough as you're going to get. And I'm telling you, everything in God's time is offered. I know it is in public works. You women that work, you men that work, I know there's wickedness on every hand. I know people seduce you and try to get you to do wrong. I know the power games are there, and the betting and gambling's there, and the filthy communication's there, and the lewdness and ugliness is there. But by the grace of God, you can stand up with a backbone like a sawlog and say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not interested in it. I'm living for God, and I'm not giving in to temptation. It can be done. It can be done. You say you're preaching perfection. No, no. I'm preaching living right. Anybody here perfect? Anybody here live above sin? Let me see your hand. Let me get to look at the biggest lie in North Carolina. Anybody? Any takers? You know, the only way you'll ever live above sin is get you an apartment over a saloon somewhere and move in. Then you can say, I'm living above sin. I know all that. I'm well aware of it. But I want to give you something else. Who in the name of God ever told us Baptists that we had to sin every day? You ever read that in your Bible? I ain't never read it. You know how the Pentecostal brethren is. They say, well, y'all believe once saved, always saved. Right, we believe that. And they say, well, if you believe that, you can just live any way you want to and die and go to heaven. We don't believe that. No, no, no. Which just saved by the grace of God, and you give over to temptation and get into open sin, I believe God will beat the day outside of you and chasten you and rebuke you and bring you back in the fall or bury you in the cemetery. One or the other. But I'm saying, when we're tempted, we can look to one that was in all points tempted as we are, and without sin. He lived victorious. Somebody said, what do you do when you give in and you fail and you have sin in your life? You know what most people do? They just say, I'm through. I've quit. I've messed up. I can't go no further. No, that ain't what we need to do. When we mess up and we give in, and we all do it from time to time, what do you do then? You just get out on them knees again. Say, Lord, I'm guilty, Lord. I failed you again, Lord. Oh, wash me in your blood. Oh, purge me again. And God will speak that peace back to your soul. And wash in the blood. And forgive you. You don't lose your salvation. You just lose your fellowship. Just He was tempted. As we are, he knows what we're going through, children. In all points, God testified a man. Mike, if you don't get up and sit down, I'm going to get you, boy. God testified a man. God tabernacled among men. God was tempted as a man. Can I say this fourthly? God tasted death for every man. He tries to die for every man. Look in verse 9. We see Jesus, he was made of the Lord, the angels, and suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hey, can you see the devil gathering around Calvary? I mean, he had raised the dead. He had healed the sick. And the devil got every one of them back. They died again or got sick again. And I can see death as he said, Jesus, you've raised them, you've healed them. But I've conquered them all again. I've got them, and now I've got you. You're dying, Jesus. And I can see the imps of hell gather around close. And finally, Jesus cried with a loud voice, it is finished! And gave up the ghost. The devil said, we got him. We got him! He's dead. But I can hear him as he checked in the Death Hotel. And there Mr. Death stood with a register and swung it around. It said, sign right here, Jesus. I see him just sign two words, swung it back around. Death Hotel clerk said, what does I am mean? He said, it means I am. The resurrection and the truth and the life. In 3 days, I'm going to get my father here. And I'll leave and Mr. Death. I'd see the devil as he came by that first day and said, Death, how is it? How you doing with him? He said, oh, man, everything's wonderful, quiet in the tombs. He said, I've got him, Mr. Devil. Don't worry about nothing. He said, good, wonderful. But on that second day, I'd see him getting a little nervous. The devil come by and said, Dev, have you still got him? He said, oh, yes. I've got him. Everything's quiet in the tomb. Don't worry about it, devil. I've got him. I've never had a man I didn't conquer. I can see him on that third day. He come by and he said, Dev, what's the matter with you, Dev? Why are you pacing up down the floor? Why are you wringing your hands together? What's wrong with you? He said, on this morning as the sun come up, Jesus come up out of the grave, and he took my keys with him, and he arrived, and he's gone. I thank God, our Savior, I tasted death forevermore, and came out victorious on the other side. And the devil ain't even got the keys to his own establishment today. Amen? Let me hurry, it's getting close to 12. God tasted death for man. And then fearfully, God was touched by man. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. God was touched by man. Hey, mama. You know when your heart's broken by your son that's wayward? Did you know that touches the heart of God? My mama prayed 20 years to pray me in. I was a gambler and a pool shooter and a dope hustler. She prayed 20 years for God to save me. But you know what God was? God was touched by my old mama's prayer. And God saved her boy. Amen! I mean, lots of knots. I came in. And I'd hear her go in that bedroom and fall down beside the bed and say, God, save my boy. My God, save my boy. You know what God did? He saved her boy. Oh, he was touched by her. God knows what we're going through, children. God knows what the problem is, mother. God knows the very better. And God is touched with a feeling of our infirmities. When our heart breaks, his heart breaks. Hey, you think this little boy over here, mine, Micah, you think when he cries and weeps and his heart breaks, you think that don't touch my heart? Man, I'd fight a charging bulldog for that boy. Hey, man, you think that little girl of mine and that little girl at home, when their hearts broke and they're wounded, you think it don't touch my heart? Man, I charge hell with a gas can for them kids, amen? Hey, but if we know how to give good gifts, how much more does our heavenly Father care for me? If he can clothe the lily of the valley and the sparrows go without shelter and without food and they eat every day and they're sheltered and we don't even know about it, how much more does he care for me and you, beloved? Yeah. You think when our heart breaks, God's not touched by it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah! When fire comes, or sickness comes, or the storm comes, and God is touched by it, and he's waiting beside us to give us a remedy and an answer in the middle of our dilemma. God cares. He's touched by it. Yeah. He's touched by us. God's touched by man. I'm telling you, God had man on his mind. Let me close with this tonight. Only God testified of man. And God tabernacled among men. And God was tempted as a man. And God tasted death for every man. God was touched by man. Last of all, God was triumphant for man. I mean, he triumphant. I was reading and studying. We're over in Rome. They had what they called an ovation. And then they had what they called a triumph. And the different generals, they had if you won just a small battle of some kind, they'd come into town and they had what they call an ovation for you. I mean, the general, they'd walk, they'd march down the street, the troops. But it was just kind of a small, like we'd probably call a Christmas parade. You know, they just won a small battle of some kind. But if you let one of them conquering generals come back home, I mean, won a war, and it had what they call not an ovation, but a triumph. Man, I mean, Nero himself would get out on the street. And they'd line the balconies. And there they all was. Everybody in Rome went to the streets. That general came through and they honored him with what they call a triumph. And the crowds cheered and the people waved branches and the very greatest emperor himself would stand and give this man what they call a triumph. What do you think it's going to be when Jesus brings the church home, beloved? I mean, when we leave here, somebody said Jesus and the church is going down. Let me read you something. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Yeah. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Yeah. In other words, when he come out of the grave, the Bible said many of the saints which up arose. He just got them up out of paradise. That said, look here, Jerusalem. Look here, our trial. He showed them openly. Every time one of you saved by the grace of God, he just holds them up and says, look here. There's a triumphant story over principality and power. I'm the triumphant king over Israel. Triumphant. Made a show of him openly. Somebody said he's not a coming. Oh yeah, he's coming. Oh yeah, he's coming. Let me close with this illustration as they come to the piano and get ready to sing. This man one time had him a little church out in the country. He gave the story like this. He said he was visiting and working. He said it wasn't real out in the country. There wasn't nobody coming. Nobody didn't want to come. Nobody wasn't coming much, just a handful. He got a visiting one day. He's working. Won't you play that "Just As I Am" real softly, please? He's working the business. He said, "I'm gonna get out and do some door knocking work, try to get some people in." And he comes to this road way up in a valley up there. And he said, "Man, it couldn't look like a logging road of some kind." He said, "Nobody can't live up in them woods." He took his car and he drove and drove over them gullies and them ditches. I mean, looked like he almost gave up three or four times before he got there. Over a mile, he set up in the woods. Preacher told me, he said, when I got almost up to, almost fixing to stop, turn around and go back, he said, "I saw a little smoke coming out of the chimney." And he said, "There's somebody lives up here." He got out, went to the porch, knocked on the door. Opened the door to the old country cabin. The little boy about knee high coming running out. He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm the preacher from down here at the new little church." He said, "I just wondered if you'd like to go to church with me." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I'd love to go. I've never been to church, but I'd love to go." He asked his daddy, and he said, "Sure, boy, if you want to go, help yourself." The preacher said, "I'll be back. I'll be back Sunday morning to get you, son." He said, "I'll be ready. I'll be awaiting." He come off a storm you ever seen on Saturday night. That preacher said, "It just rained and pouring." He got up that next morning just muddy and cloudy. He said, "There ain't no way I'm going to get that boy out of them woods this morning." He went to church, cut the heat on, and said, "I'll have to try another time." But the closer church time got, he decided, he said, "Man," he said, "I promised that little boy I'm going to go with." He said, "I promised him I'd come. I better go." He went out, got in his car, and started back up in them woods. That little boy got ready that morning over at the house. He's standing there wiping off all the fog off that window and looking. That daddy, daddy's an old heathen, reprobate. He said, "Boy, that preacher ain't coming to get you." He said, "Why don't you take them clothes off?" He said, "He ain't coming to get you, boy." But there was a tear in his eye. He said, "I know he'll come, Daddy. I know he'll come." He said, "He'll come. I know he'll come." Time went by. That preacher was doing all he could do to get there. I mean, just heaven. Finally, he just gave up on getting his car up the road and got out and walked. And after a while, he saw the smoke coming off that chimney. He walked up there. He got close to that house. The little boy standing at that window wiping it off. His daddy is saying, "He ain't a coming." That boy said, "I know he'll come. I know he'll come." Finally, that little boy saw him walking up. Swung the door open. He said, "Daddy, look, there he is. I know he'll come, Daddy. I know he'll come." Ain't that what the world's telling me and you? They're telling us he ain't a coming. It's a lie, Jesus ain't a coming. But I'd like to say to you, I know he's a coming. He said he was a coming. He'll be here, my lover. Rest assured, he'll triumph a mighty foe over all of his enemies. And he'll come out victorious. And he'll rapture the church someday soon. He's coming. Let me ask you something. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. God had man on his mind. God had you on his mind. God had me on his mind. Let me ask you a question. Did you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved today. I'm lost without God, and I don't want to go to hell. I didn't know he cared that much about me. I didn't know that God had me on his mind." He did, Mother. He did, Dad. You listening? He had man on his mind. And he's got man on his mind this morning. He loves and cares for you. You say, "What am I to do?" You're to respond. Are you lost this morning? You're to come and say, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I don't want to die and go to hell." This morning, if you're cold and indifferent, not right with God, maybe you've been saved. What you need to do is just come and say, "Lord, I ain't been living right. Temptation's been getting the best of me. I need to get it right with you this morning. If you'll come, there's mercy present right here this morning. Lord, take the message and use it. Help folks to respond and come. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Whatever the need is, he can meet it. You come, would you? While this brother comes and leads us in this hymn, "Just As I Am" without one plea. You come, would you? While we sing the first. Just as I am. Come on, would you? Whatever's wrong, he's right for it. Whatever's wrong, he's right for it. Would you come? Would you come this morning while we sing? How about you, Dad? How about you, Mother? Is everything all right with you? Are there peace in your heart? How about you? How about you, Mother? Peace in your heart? How about you, Dad? Hey, young person, how about you? God has you on his mind. Great price has been paid. You can leave justified this morning. We're still singing. Would you step out by faith and come? Say, Lord, I things is wrong. Something's missing. I need to get it right. Jesus has you on his mind this morning. Would you come? Just a minute. We're going to sing another verse in just a minute. She's playing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you this. We're fixing to close the service. I want to ask you something. Let me ask you a question. How many of you say, "Preacher, I've been saved by the grace of God and I know it"? I know I've been saved. Let me see your hand. Isn't that wonderful? You know you've been saved. Let me ask you this. How many say, "Preacher, I'm not saved by the grace of God. I'm lost. I'm not coming to you. Mother, Dad, I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to be ugly or rude to you." I just ask you, who would say, "I'm not saved, preacher. I don't want to go to hell"? Would you slip your hand up right back down? You just raise your hand, preacher. "I'm lost." Put it right back down quickly. Just raise it. Just raise it. Preacher, "I'm lost." Let me ask you this. I may say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not living right." You know, a little time of revival here. Brother Davis has got a burden and a vision for the church to draw close to God this next week. How many say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I'm not where I ought to be with God, and I know it. Things in my life that shouldn't be." Pray for me. Would you just lift your hand up? I've got cold on God. God bless you. God bless him on his hands. How many more? How about you, Mother, Dad? "Which I've been saved, but I'm just cold on God. I'm not faithful. I'm not praying. I'm not studying. I'm not giving. I mean, I'm just cold as a wedge on God. There's no power. There's no liberty. I'm just I'm not going to wait till Wednesday. I'm not waiting till the night. I'm going to get it right today. Or I can have peace in my heart. Would you step out? Let's sing that last verse. If nobody comes, I'm done. Just as you are. Just as you are, would you? Just as you are.
Thank you very much this morning. We appreciate your time and your patience. We won't try to add anything, nothing to add, but I tell you, I just praise God. Appreciate Brother Chapel coming this way this morning, him and his daughter and his little boy. And you enjoyed the message. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. Now, he's going to be preaching again tonight. While I'll be singing, we'll be having preaching tonight. Preaching Monday through Wednesday night also. Service tonight at 6, of course, and then 7 o'clock the rest of the week. And let's spend a little time praying this evening and asking God to do something special for us, to visit us in a special way. And Brother Chapel's back in the back, and you can shake hands with him as you go. Let him know how much you appreciate it. But before we go, I'm going to ask Brother Jim if he will to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Let's go praying and come back tonight and invite somebody to come with you. Amen. Tell you.